Welcome to the Ring of Honor review. I'm Oliver Newman.
And I'm Stephen Jackson.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm feeling really good, Oliver. Really great TV show this past week, what we're going to be able to chat about, and feeling really good. Yeah, how about yourself?
Yeah, glad you are. It's kind of the antithesis of last week's show, where I said there's a need for like proper TV tapings.
Yeah.
I kind of was. So they turned it around super quick. Much like yourself, a good TV show that looking forward to review, amongst other things. You've got lots to get through on this show. So I don't think anyone should worry about us going, a lot shorter than what we have. I mean, last week's show was like 16 minutes, just under, so. Don't worry about that. So, just get straight into the news because it's very news heavy this week with the help of my trusty ROH app to the Best of 2019 Awards. So, first up, Best New Star, El Toro Blanco Rush. Next was favorite Future of Honor star, one that me and Stephen both agree with, the Mecca, Brian Johnson. He's just masterful on the microphone, and we look forward to seeing more of him in ring, I'm
absolutely
sure, Stephen.
Absolutely.
Yep. Best entrance is Villain Enterprises' Marty Skrull. Best finisher is Steven's favorite wrestler, isn't Jonathan Gresham. Every time. Bandido's 21-plex, which was amazing to witness at final battle, as Mexi Blood took on the Villain Enterprises, and he German suplexed Flip Gordon and Mighty Skrull at the same time. Beautiful. The holy moment is when Destro shocked PCO, and that allowed him to become the ROH world champion at final battle. Faction of the year, and a surprise to nobody, including myself and Steven, Villain Enterprises. The match of the year was Matt Taven versus Jay Lethal versus Mighty Skrull from the G1 Supercard, the ROH world title ladder match. And tag team of the year, we were completely on the same page for this, so I would imagine. The Briscoes.
Yep.
And wrestler of the year, former ROH world champion, and Stephen's favorite wrestler that isn't Bandido or Jonathan Gresham, Matt Taven. So, that rounds up the Best of 2019 awards. Just gonna say them, really. Not gonna get too much feedback because, like I said, we got a lot to get through in this show. Next up, we have the Supercard of Honor, which really looks like it'll live up to its name. Huge news, has been released about this. Before we get to the absolute highlight so far, I'm just going to run through names who have been announced card. Switchblade Jay White, Will Ospreay, El Phantasmo, and Slex, Marty Skrull, Jay Lethal, Jeff Cobb, the ROH World Television Champion, Dragon Lee, and making his return after 11 years, Kenta. This just looks like an incredible show. My only concern, and I think Stephen holds the same opinion, is El Toro Blanco Rush came out and said this would be New Japan versus ROH. And we are slightly concerned that was kind of what the G1 Supercard was about, and how ROH has fallen, at least in attendance and crowd support, since that time. But looking at the card objectively, it looks amazing. So, even more news. So just with me, we have obviously the ROH app coming. on February 9th. It is the Free Enterprise show. And once again, just going to run through what we've got so far, more so than talking about it, because we'll preview these shows in the weeks to come. We've got Brody King, Villain Enterprises against Mexi Squad's Rey Harus. We have the other two members of Mexi Squad, Flamita and Steven, favorite wrestler isn't Jonathan Gresham and Matt Taven, Bandido, against the Briscoe. We've got the debuting Slex against Villain Enterprises' Flip Gordon. We have a proving ground match, Jeff Cobb and Dan Maff against the ROH World Tag Team Champions, Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. Non-title match, but if Dan Maff or Jeff Cobb win the match or indeed draw the match, I think they get a future ROH World Tag Team title shot. We have Joe Hendry and Dalton Castle against Bateman and Vincent. Yeah, battle royal for future shot at ROH World title. He and Marty going up against Nick Aldis from the NWA and Roosh. In between that, this Friday night, the NWA heavyweight champion, which probably should have said for the tag team match, is going up, and Nick Aldis is going up against Villain Enterprises' Flip Gordon at NWA Hard Times. So that should be a really interesting cross-promotional match. So we will go back to the shows again because more has been announced. This time for Bound by Honor in Nashville, Tennessee. We have ROH World Championship match. PCO is defending his title against current ROH World Television Champion Dragon Lee. Only the ROH World title is on the line. Jeff Cobb and Dan Maff against the Briscoes. Slex against the Villain Enterprises, the villain Marty Skrull, and La Fashion of Roosh, Toro Blanco, Roosh, and Kenny King against Villain Enterprises, Brody King, and Flip Gordon. And last but no means least, we have St. Charles, Missouri, the 29th of February. And the card is as follows. ROH World Championship match. El Toro Blanco, Roosh, Mark Haskins, and PCO in a triple threat for the ROH World title. We finally get to see Dak Draper cashing in his ROH World Television title in a television title match against the champion, Dragon Lee. And in a returning kind of strange bedfellows match from the ROH four-team, eight-man tag that we discussed from Honor Reigns Supreme, we have an ROH World six-man championship match as Mexi Squad, Flamita, Rey Harus, and Steven's favorite wrestler that isn't Jonathan Gresham, Bandido, taking on Jeff Cobb and the ROH World Tag Team Champions, Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham, that isn't Steven's favorite wrestler, the Bandido. So this is kind of a part of a dream match for you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
This is strange because Jeff Cobb, Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham weren't on the same page on the Reigns Supreme, and this one just has combustible elements, but should be fantastic with all six guys involved. And yeah, a very breathless Oliver Newman has kind of almost ran for the news. So another couple of things. Brian Johnson and PJ Black are going to give mentoring a go. It's been confirmed. Coast to Coast, LSG, and Shaheem Ali have gone their separate ways. And, yeah, that's all the news we have. Not sure how long that took us, but that's where we are. Lots going on in ROH. I think we've kind of jumped on the bandwagon at the right time, Stephen, because 2020 should be a great year.
Definitely. Really, really excited by the news that's been coming out this week, and you know, the cards that have been announced so far are continuing to build the momentum on what we saw this past weekend at Honor Reign Supreme and Saturday night at Centre Stage. And if they can keep building cards up like this, then you know, these attendances are going to grow and they're going to be building the momentum up and getting some great you know, talent exchanges going. So yeah, really, really excited by the news this week. Really excited.
Before we actually talk about the TV show, as we do, the ROH Superstar Spotlight. And this week, the ROH Superstar Spotlight is going to be on Alex Shelley. And without further ado, 5 minutes on the clock, let's see what Stephen can do.
I'm nervous as well because there's so much to talk about with him that I could last about 50 minutes, not just five. But I'll try my best.
I'll leave it for you to edit, even though you don't have to do it. Okay, so 5 minutes starts now.
Yeah, so Alex Shelley, one of the most important wrestlers in Ring of Honor history. First debuted back in 2003 at WrestleRave in a great four-way match with BJ Whitmer, Tony Mameluke and Jimmy Jacobs. And then from there, sort of wrestling here and there, he would finally find his way as being part of Generation Next, who, if as I'm sure Oliver will know, Generation Next, one of the most important stables in probably the first most important stable by the Prophecy in Ring of Honor history. Four amazing wrestlers in Alex Shelley, Austin Aries, Jack Evans and Roderick Strong. I mean, as people know now, we know where they are now. When they started in Ring of Honor, were wanting to, you know, lead the way, and they, you know, proclaimed to be the best Ring of Honor had to offer at the time. And they were, I mean, incredible matches from all of them. And Alex Shelley, just unbelievable on the mic, unbelievable leading this stable along with Austin Aries. And then from there, we were able to see a lot more of his technical prowess. I mean, he had great matches for the Pure Championship. He also was in a really influential feud with the Embassy, which then would turn, he would turn on Generation Next and join the Embassy, and became a really dastardly heel and was able to really showed just how versatile he was. And they would have a really violent and bloody confrontation at Steel Cage Warfare. Again, incredible stuff from Alex Shelley in that match. And then he then was sort of from there having great technical matches against, had an awesome match against Brian Danielson in 2006 at Arena Warfare for the world title. In Danielson's long Ring of Honor championship reign. And he would also later on in 2007 would come back to Ring of Honor with his TNA partner Chris Sabin as part of the Motor City Machine Guns, and had an absolutely unbelievable tag team match against the Briscoes, Motor City Machine Guns against the Briscoes, one of the in Chicago, one of the best tag team matches in Ring of Honor history. And from there, he left the company from being full time, and then he would come back sporadically with Chris Sabin as part of the Motor City Machine Guns. So they had a great match against The Edge of the Fall, Tyler Black and Jimmy Jacobs, an awesome match against the Kings of Wrestling in 2010. And they also had a great match against Kevin Steen and El Generico in 2008 at A New Level. Oh, no, sorry, Death Before Dishonor 4. Was it 4 or 6? I always get mixed up with the number 6, sorry, at the Hammerstein Ballroom. I've already kind of know that I'm going over 5 minutes, but there's just so much to talk about Alex Shelley. So it's like, but he just has had such an incredible career in the company.
Half left, that's
a minute and a half left. Oh wow, carry on going then. Yeah. So from there he would leave Ring of Honor till 2014, where he actually returned to the company with his New Japan partner Kushida, and the two of them in 2014 would face Red Dragon as part of the Time Splitters, who are currently now in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic over in NXT, which both me and Oliver were really excited about, seeing how far both wrestlers had come. And they, Kushida would dip in and out of Ring of Honor, much like Alex Shelley did for a while, but he would then regain his tag team with Chris Sabin when he had returned back to the company back in 2015. And they had some unbelievable matches again against the Young Bucks, against the Briscoes, against SCU, The Addiction, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. And just one of the... And he's due to face Mark Haskins at...
Pre-Enterprise.
Yeah, so he's still active in the company.
That's your 5 minutes. I would say at this point, there's a couple of things, because obviously Alex Shelley's had a long-storied career in ROH. A couple of things I'd like to add, and something that you missed out because of the time frame that you had to work with. Alex Shelley came into the company, like you said, Wrestle Rave, and he was always kind of intertwined with Jimmy Jacobs, and they were tag team partners. And then they had the I Quit match, which stands out in my memory. And he tried to do a redemption storyline where he tried to get help from anyone. And that's when he joined the embassy in the end.
Yeah.
And with Chris Sabin, they actually, the one thing that Alex Shelley did, title-wise in ROH, to the best of my knowledge, they become the ROH Tag Team Champions.
Yeah.
Motor City Machine Guns, which you didn't have time to add in. So just wanted to add those things in. And then Alex Shelley came back and... just recently, and was beaten by the ROH Superstar of the Year, former ROH champion, a world champion, Matt Taven. He will be back on February 9th for Free Enterprise take on Mark Haskins, which you added in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's had a long storied career and probably too much for a 5 minute spotlight. So
In these sort of, we think a lot about Ring of Honor veterans and Ring of Honor sort of important forefathers in the company. And I mean, we always think of Brian Danielson, you know, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe and the like, but Alex Shelley has been there, done so much in the time he's been in Ring of Honor. It's just incredible to think just how varied and how great his career has been and how many great matches he's had with so many different people and influenced so many different wrestlers from that point, you know, and still doing it now. You know, just wanted to add that in, that it's just great. It's just one of a few.
His style of wrestling is pure wrestling, and it's just really interesting that during the pure wrestling title, I don't think he ever held it. The closest was losing to our own, you know, fellow countryman Doug Williams, wasn't it? So it's just really interesting. But once again, every superstar that we talk about, whether it's alumni, veteran, legend, original, he's had an indelible mark in Ring of Honor as a singles wrestler, as a stablemate, and as a tag team wrestler. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, he's had an incredible career. Fantastic wrestler. Okay, so we are on to the 11th edition of the ROH TV review. And to start the show, we are given Gresham versus that man, Alex Shelley, number one highlights from Glory Barner in 2019. That is followed up with highlights of Flip Gordon versus one third of the now introduced Mexa Squad, Rey Harus from Final Battle Fallout. We have a backstage promo between Brian Johnson and PJ Black, which I've just mentioned in the news, has kind of turned into their mentoring, probably because of being involved in Honor Reigns Supreme, isn't it? That match got turned into a triple threat. And then we finally get to set our eyes on Crowbar After obviously saying he was going to be a part of Final Battle Fallout. I'm not sure if it was the show, but he was appearing and stuff. It was for a TV exclusive match with Mrs. Crowbar and the guy I've just called Dude. against one third of the Shinobi Shadow Squad, Eli Isom. So last week I was crying out for TV tapings, and this week we got it and then some, so I was really happy about this. But in terms of this match, I thought Isom showed great athleticism, loved the double leapfrog backwards and forwards. I thought that was quite cool. Crowbar can still go, but used distracting tactics. Mrs. Crowbar, you know, tripped the heel, and Dude kind of distracted Isom as well. Love the Vader bomb off the guardrail. That just shows what Crowbar's all about.
Yeah.
Really good fan support. I mean, I'll talk about that in more detail later, but that wasn't kind of on the show, so I'm really surprised it was there before the show. And then a brain buster for a big win for Isom, and what I had in my notes is a really good TV match. What did you make of this match, Stephen?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a really good TV match. I thought the chemistry was there. I'm high on Eli Isom, I think. I saw him last year and the year before. I've been following him for quite some time, and I think his athleticism, as you mentioned, with the leapfrogs is insane. And Crowbar still is able to bring it, you know, and he's got that own sort of unique style to him. And he, like you said, the crowd were really into this. And I think what I liked about this match as well is like what they mentioned on commentary is that Crowbar had a history in ECW and things. And it felt a bit like, because the crowd were there and things, a bit more like that sort of ECW arena style TV match, which I really, really liked.
He had a career in ECW.
I didn't actually. Yeah. That's what surprised me.
I know about WCW because obviously him, David Flair, and Daphne.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't sure about an ECW career, so that kind of shocked me a little bit.
So I thought it was brilliant, and I think it was a really strong TV match for TV. I thought it, for a TV episode, a match for a TV episode of wrestling, I thought it was really, really good. Really, really strong.
Yep. Absolutely. So next up was highlights of Stevens never, ever been my favourite wrestler ever.
Yeah.
Bully Ray. I can just change it up. I can do it on the fly. Bully Ray putting Maria Manic through a table. It was Brian Zane doing the interviewing. And he basically said, you shouldn't be doing my stuff, putting people through a table in my home. And that was the reason for attacking Maria Manic. Shinobi Shadow Squad, Cheeseburger and Ryan Nova join Eli Isom. After getting one win on the show, they decide to go for two. Cheeseburger calls out any tag team, and that's entered by Soldiers of Savagery, Moses and Khan. So that whole wanting to win two matches thing isn't going to work out well for you, Cheeseburger, I'm afraid. Ryan Nova. So this is Cheeseburger and Ryan Nova versus SOS. Ryan Nova came across to me just tremendously athletic. You know, from being taken down on the floor to just running with great pace and athleticism around the ring. SOS looked dominant and they take the win with the assisted DDT. Crowd were good again, and it got me thinking, like, were there acoustic issues on the main show? Because the fan support was there for like the pre-show TV tapings. But it wasn't there for Final Battle Fallout main show, apart from when Bully Ray put Maria Manic for a table, was it?
Yeah.
And they jumped to the ECW, so that was weird. But yeah, once again, good tag team match. What did you make of this match, Stephen?
I thought it was really fun, and I think that the Soldiers of Savagery are quickly becoming one of my favourite tag teams. They just, they're awesome, and they look great. Their style is really, they remind me a lot of the Dark City Fight Club, who wrestled briefly in Ring of Honor back in 2009 and 2010, sort of, you know, that gangsters, Nation of Domination style, what they've got to them. They're really, really, really high on them. And the crowd were there. It is, I have heard that the acoustics in the ECW arena are strange, that they don't always get picked up, but it was like watching two different shows, in the sense that the crowd were completely into it, and then they just didn't seem like there was anyone there for, you know, the Final Battle Fallout. It just seemed really weird, yeah. Like really odd.
It was the same for the Briscoes versus Roosh and Dragon Lee, wasn't it?
Yeah.
From the same arena. So,
yeah. Straight. The only criticism I would say about, or the only thing I didn't like was, you know, I liked the fact that Ryan Nova was on the floor and he was selling being injured and he was crawling to get to the ring, back into the ring. But when he did get back into the ring, it was sort of, it was like he was no, that horrible phrase, which I don't like to throw about, but the no selling thing, where it was like he was selling so much on the floor that then all of a sudden it seemed like he had nothing wrong with him. And it just, he didn't take away from
the form. I could say in that instance, because I noticed that too, but maybe an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Maybe the adrenaline rush for like a couple of minutes, and then he's like, oh, wait a second, I'm really, really hurt here, and I've probably hurt myself more by doing what I've just done.
Yeah.
So, because obviously he cut away after the match, but then maybe he's like fell to the floor.
Yeah.
And he's like, I shouldn't have done that. Because, yeah, you can see that. I can see where you're coming from. I did think that, but then I kind of just get wrapped up in the moment.
Yeah.
And would rather point out his athleticism rather than anything else. But, we did. He cut away after the match, so you don't know if he's just gone down in a heap.
I will say one thing as well. I don't know if you noticed, Cheeseburger, that clothesline, what he took from, was it Moses, I think, early on? Was it Moses or was it Khan? I can't remember. It was one of them. I just can't remember because it was kind of in a blur, but God, he got, his head almost got taken off with his just... Because he was bleeding from the mouth, wasn't he? And the velocity what I hit him with, God, like, talk about a rainmaker. It was like he didn't...
He was bleeding from the mouth, and then they put him in a bear hug, didn't they?
Yeah.
You could just see red in his teeth. And
He got
just in case anyone's having a late-night slack. So, two good matches there, TV-style matches. So, someone was listening to my criticism from last week, constructive as they were. And next up, we get a rundown of the Honor Reigns Supreme card, which has already taken place.
Yeah.
So that was good. And then we're on to the main event, which probably sums up, a really good episode of the ROH TV review, as we see Jonathan Gresham, the new ROH World, one half of the new ROH World Tag Team Champions, with Jay Lethal against Alex Shelley, part two. And this was from Final Battle Fallout. Starts out like Shelley versus Gresham 1, when it's all about joint manipulation and trying to get some kind of advantage in the match by using technical wrestling. This, in criticism kind of way, but it turns into more of a pro wrestling match, running against the ropes and trying to use anything to get any advantage, which kind of makes sense. And then it turns back into the technical joint manipulation kind of match, and Gresham is able to get the win to equal up the series by cradling Shelley's head and his legs and getting a quick pinfall, which is the way Shelley finished off Colt Cabana the night before Final Battle.
Yeah.
Getting a pinfall out of nowhere. One of the funny things about this was the action was so thick and fast that Rick Caboni almost lost his breath during the play-by-play, which is quite interesting on the commentary. And then Gresham and Shelley shake hands post-match. No tomfoolery involved. We've got 1-1. And we didn't think we'd see a part three, but with Shelley coming back on the ninth and still taking independent bookings, maybe, just maybe, if we hope against hope, we can see this match at Supercard of Honor.
Hopefully.
So what's your thoughts on this match, Stephen? Your favourite wrestler that isn't Andido against Alex Shelley.
I thought it was another great match, and I mean, you heard my thoughts on the Final Battle Fallout review. Just to reiterate here, I thought it was great. I didn't, at the time we were saying we didn't think it was just as good as the first match, but looking at it again, watching it again, I actually think they're just two very different matches. And I think because that first match was just such a surprise, just how pure Catch as Can it was, to then see something a lot more, I wouldn't even say the word standard or typical, but just a wrestling match what we're used to, it kind of felt like you were being, it was like a disappointment, but actually it wasn't. It was just that they were trying again a different style and showing more versatility. And I just thought it was great, and especially with Jay Lethal being at ringside as well, I thought that added an extra little bit of dimension and sort of, an extra little bit to it. And it was, especially considering the history between Alex Shelley and Jay Lethal in various promotions. Jay Lethal actually faced Alex Shelley in his debut match for Ring of Honor when he was Hydro.
That's Hydro,
2004.
That's okay.
So that was, back in when he was as an individual wrestler rather than his first singles match, rather than being part of the special case. So I like that little, if you know about the history as well, that as well.
Makes sense. Shelley wanting to confront Gresham after match, it looked like, and then Jay Lethal saying no, and then they eventually shook hands. That's cool. I didn't know that.
Great stuff. Great stuff as always from these two guys, and I'm hoping for a part three somewhere along the line, as I'm sure you are, Oliver.
Absolutely. And I just think this was a different kind of match to the first one. I think if hand on heart we have to answer this question, then it's going to be Alex Shelley versus Jonathan Gresham 1.
Yeah.
But I just think, like I said, it's a different kind of match. It brings me back to like a British wrestling match that I saw years ago that was in my book, the British wrestling one. And it was the match section with Danny Devine against British Born Steel. And in the first match, it was like a 10-minute, pure wrestling, technical wrestling, submission wrestling masterpiece for like those 10 minutes. And then in the second match, I was thinking, okay, they're going to go out and they're going to wrestle up a storm again, and it turned into a fight because of how the first match ended.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm a bit disappointed by that. But then actually, watching it and reading it back and stuff, and you're like, oh, well, yeah, well, he's kind of cheated to win. And then, obviously he wants to get revenge, and it makes sense. So from a logical story perspective, they wrestled up a storm in the first match, and Gresham got caught by a quick pin on by Shelley. And in the second match, they're trying to wrestle the same kind of match, and no one can get a logical advantage. So instead of the holds, they have to have a normal professional wrestling match. And then when none of that comes to fruition and no one can get a break, then they have to bring it back to the technical wrestling aspect.
Yeah.
And Gresham steals a quick pinfall from Shelley when they bring it back to the joint manipulation and technical wrestling hold to hold. So it went full circle in that match back to how the Shelley versus Gresham 1 finished. So yeah, all makes sense. And like I said, we're salivating at the fact, hopefully, that we can see Alex Shelley versus Jonathan Gresham 3. And that would be the icing on the cake for, like I said, Supercard of Honor. And if not, then as long as it happens at some future ROH show, it's all good.
Yeah, definitely.
And with that, the TV show finished. And we're going to wrap this up. For myself, I mentioned it just previously. Then I'm a three-time pro wrestling author. Two books and with Ring of Honor involved. In my first book, I was at Unified in 2006 and the Liverpool Double Shot in 2007. And that book is called The Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. The second book, I was at the Orlando Double Shot in 2008. And that book is called A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. And they're both available on Amazon, paperback and Kindle. Kindle's instantaneous download and free on Kindle Unlimited. If you'd like a signed copy, get in contact with me on my Big Cartel, afansperspective.bigcartel.com. And Stephen, for yourself?
Yeah, you can... on Twitter, so you can find me at SteeJ215, and I'm also a member of the Wrestling Estate, and one of my most recent articles chronicled the career and life and legacy of one Jushin Thunder Liger, former Ring of Honor alumni, article which Oliver's been very complimentary of, and it was an article which I really, really enjoyed writing. So not only can you find that article, but many others written by myself and my colleagues, where we cover all aspects of the industry, and we're available at The Wrestling Estate, and you can find us on Twitter at The Wrestling EST. So go and check us out.
Very good. And then for ourselves, we have a partnership with Powerslam.tv, 6,500 plus hours of professional wrestling from 140 plus promotions. And you can have a month on us using the code BROKENFREE. And then, as Stephen mentioned, Twitter handle wise, he's already talked about his. So mine, at Bromial, Instagram, at Bromial. My Facebook, Fans Perspective UK, for Broken But Glorious, which is the group that we work for, at BBG Wrestling on Twitter, at BBGW Pod is the main podcast, and yeah, the website is BBGWrestling.com. So yeah, that's everything, and yeah, we will be back with episode 12 of the ROH TV review next week, and we hope you'll join us then. And
yeah, looking forward to everyone.
Very much for all your support up until this point.
Definitely. Thank you for everyone listening in, and thank you for supporting us, and just hope it continues for a great 2020.
Thanks, everyone. See you next week.
See you later.
Bye for now.
Bye.